How's it going, everyone? It's Tim and Lance here. Have you ever wanted someone to read you creepy bedtime stories in the most velvety voice ever?
Well, you had me hooked at velvety, Tim. We are excited to share a podcast that is exactly that. It's called Nighty Night Bedtime Stories to Keep You Awake. And Tim, it's narrated by a friend of ours.
That's right. New York Times bestselling author and podcaster Rabia Chaudhry. Nighty Night is an anthology featuring classic horror stories this season and fictionalized true life stories in season one that are so creepy that you will realize reality is scarier than fiction.
And Tim, I know our favorite part of each episode is at the end when Rabia says, but wait, there's more to the story. And we get to hear those fascinating details about the author and the context of the tale. What's your favorite episode?
My favorite episode is The Tiny Hares from season one, which takes us on a harrowing journey when the narrator runs into a dangerous man in the woods. What about you?
Well, mine comes from the current season. It's called The Horla, in which we witness the protagonist spiral into a descent of madness. Tim, I feel like I'm constantly spiraling into a descent of madness, so I really relate to that one.
Well, I hear that. So dim your lights, get under a cozy blanket, and find and subscribe to Nighty Night wherever you get your podcasts.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Welcome to Crawl Space. I'm Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how's it going today?
It's going so well, especially knowing what the topic is today. Something a little bit different, but something relevant and topical, if I might say so.
It's a good one. It's going to be a little bit different today, and let's welcome in our co-host, our co-worker, Jennifer Amell. How's it going, Jen?
Hey, guys. What's up? Pleasure to be here.
Well, I feel like it's been seriously... God, years since we last spoke.
Indeed.
How have you been in the interim?
Very well. We spent a weekend apart, sort of. And now we're back.
Yes.
Back in the crawl space. Yeah.
And today we're discussing a story about a mysterious video that leaked online in 2019. And Jen brought this to our attention, and it's relevant to today, timely, if you will, because deepfakes are a big topic. Deepfakes or deepfake videos are the result of somebody switching a person's face, or even in the case of what we're going to talk about today, a person's body from an original video into something else. Jen, can you tell us a little bit about this story?
Yeah, so this mysterious video was allegedly leaked on January 29th, 2019, and it surfaced on YouTube, and it features a Russian woman giving an address at the UN. She announces that a pyramid-shaped craft appeared over the Pentagon and that they believed it was extraterrestrial in origin.
Can you just go back a little bit on how this even came into your universe? How did you stumble on this, or did it find you?
How does anything really stumble across?
You're like Tom Noonan's character in Heat. you just pluck it from the air.
How do you get this information?
It just comes to you. This stuff just flies through the air. They send this information out. I mean, it's just beamed out all over the fucking place. You don't have to just know how to grab it. See on how to grab it.
Yeah, my life is a little bit like the X-Files, too. I dug it out of a drawer in the basement of the FBI.
All right, then we'll leave it at that. now, although when we decided to talk about deepfakes, and we were saying that it'll be a nice, I don't know if we used the word fun, maybe we said different, I can't remember what we said, but it starts off as fun. And I want to start there. It starts off as an interesting conversation. And the more you look into the technology, the more fascinating it becomes. But at some point, we cross the line into very dangerous for our society and for distribution of news, just on the surface. Do you think this particular story has or had the potential to become something more dangerous?
Sure. I think it definitely started out as a kind of Orson Welles War of the Worlds type creation. At least maybe that was the intent behind it when somebody made it. I think the technology of deep fake videos definitely can be very scary if it's applied to a little bit more serious of a topic. I think we're in an era of fake news, and as technology evolves, it's going to be more and more difficult to tell what's real and what is not real. And that's the real terror of it.
And in this particular instance, there was a video that was released or leaked, if you will, but it had been deepfaked. It had been doctored. And the video, the topic is UFOs, that there was a UFO or unidentified flying object that was spotted over the Pentagon in the United States.
Yes, I believe that the government is now referring to them as UAPs.
That's correct.
So there are actually pictures of this pyramid-shaped craft over the Pentagon. I mean, those are likely doctored photographs as well. But there is, if you're going to look at it like it's real, there is evidence in support of this deep fake video, but it might have been all generated by the same source.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that, that there might be evidence to support this deep fake video? Are you saying evidence to support it being a deep fake video or evidence to support it being a legit sighting?
So yeah, evidence to support that it was an event that occurred. So there are pictures out there of a craft hovering over the Pentagon. They don't seem legitimate to me, but I did go searching after I saw this video and I was like, wouldn't thousands of people be talking about this? You know, it's like in such a highly populated area like Washington, D.C. Although, where's the Pentagon? Is that in Virginia?
It's right on the line of Arlington. And
I think Art Roderick's backyard, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the middle part's his pool.
Well, that also didn't that also happen in Independence Day, where a triangle-shaped craft went through Washington, D.C., I believe, blew up the White House in the movie. Mm. But I agree that I wonder if the fake part of this story was sort of playing with people's imaginations or what they thought they had seen, I guess, technically years before, because Independence Day was a popular movie. But also there are other sightings of that maybe seem more legitimate of triangle shaped objects. I know Arizona had one. There were other ones. And there was actually one that the Pentagon confirmed in April of 2019. So if you Google Pentagon pyramid UFO, you're going to get headlines that say Pentagon says video is real of pyramid-shaped UFO, but it's not talking about the one that was over the Pentagon. It's just saying the Pentagon said that there are some pictures that were leaked that were real, if this whole thing isn't confusing enough yet.
So are we saying that the leaked videos are leaked in order to cover up the actual truth? So that's, I'm trying to wrap my head around the purpose of something being leaked. And I think we're saying leaked is like sort of intentionally leaked, right?
I think it's basically a troll.
So the video that was on YouTube has like really bad quality, both in audio and in the visual element. And I think that sort of lends itself to the whole like texture of a leaked video. It's like at one point there's this shadow that comes over the screen, like somebody's finger is covering up a camera phone. So that all lends itself to like the believability that this was a surreptitious video taken by someone who was in the UN listening to this address.
And the woman in the video is a woman by the name of Alia Prokofaya. Is that how you pronounce that, Jen?
I mean, I'm not too good at my Russian pronunciation, but I think it's Prokofieva.
Okay.
Prokofieva.
I get that. Prokofieva.
And so she's real, right? So she's the CEO of a real Russian space company?
Yeah, she is. She's the CEO behind this company called Galactica. And they are an interesting company to look into as well. I would like to read a bit about Alia from her bio on her website. She says, I was born bonded with space. My mother managed Pulkov Observatory, Because of her stories and because I had the chance to talk with scientists and researchers, space has always been just as real as the trees and grass beyond the window pane. My mother used to tell me about the stars, planets, black holes, and other galaxies, trips and discoveries. My aunt worked at the Institute of Applied Astronomy of the USSR and studied black holes, quasars, and dwarfs. She explained the rules of the universe to me. My desire to study space and our cosmic abilities grew exponentially. So she goes on with kind of her life story here, but basically her whole interest is in kind of envisioning what a space civilization might look like in the future.
Okay, so we're going to play a quick clip of what she says in the video, and then we're going to read the rest because I think it's just too difficult to understand. So she says, ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement. On December at 4:07 p.m., an extraterrestrial contact occurred.
A metal object shaped like a pyramid appeared over the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., in the United States of America.
An unidentified flying object, diameter around 100 meters, rotated around its own axis at an altitude of around 500 meters.
She goes on to say, NASA Operational Task Group specializing in the receiving and processing of the space data received an incoming data from the object. At the moment as I speak here now, the data has been processed and investigated by NASA.
And then she says, the information from the radars, the visual information, and the fixation of the radio signals incoming from the unidentified flying object were made. According to the data, we can say that the object hovering over the Pentagon can be identified as an aircraft of unknown origin.
Hypothetically extraterrestrial. However, there were no signs of aggression.
Then it looks like there's some obscuring of the camera again.
The repeating radio burst, named FRB and a bunch of numbers, recorded by the specialists of the Chime Observatory, British Columbia's Okanagan Valley, matches the pattern of the signal fixated by NASA incoming from the object hovering over the Pentagon.
And this is still video that's obscured, and the audio in the back continues. Currently, work is already underway to calculate the coordinates of the signal source and the corresponding inhabited celestial. And here it appears that the video has been cut off. And again, all of those final lines right there were done through what looked like an obscured cell phone camera. And perhaps somebody had come along and instructed the individual, or the individual just stopped recording.
And so the video traces back to something real. Isn't that right, Jen?
Yeah. So anything to do with aliens, there's like also a ton of debunkers who try to go out there and figure out how this was made and why this was made. So I don't know exactly who discovered it, but there is another video taken at the UN that's of greater quality and not as shaky, and the audio is better, but it's actually of the Turkish president Erdogan giving an address at the UN, and the people who are in the background, it's all the same. So it looks like Aaliyah filmed herself, or somebody filmed her giving this address, and then that was superimposed on the body of President Erdogan.
It's pretty close, but the person is wearing different clothes. Some of their mannerisms is a little bit different too, but it does appear to be very similar.
Yeah, it's like a pretty sophisticated deepfake, it seems. I'm not sure how you might go about doing this, if you would go about doing it through machine learning. Or if you would just film Aaliyah on a green screen and then use some After Effects to kind of blend her into the background or whatever.
Would you even need her at all?
Right, exactly.
Has she been quoted or talking about this story at all?
No, she hasn't. She hasn't given any comment that I can find. Maybe there's some Russian media on the subject, but nothing in English.
Now, how do we know that the other video, the one of Erdogan, isn't the deep fake?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, or, ufologists and stuff, who like desperately want this to be true and have kind of asked, you know, which video came first? Was it the Erdogan video or the Aaliyah video. There's some who say that the Aliyah video came out a day before the Erdogan video. So they think that President Erdogan is actually the deep fake video and used to cover up the Aliyah video. But I argue, why wouldn't you just, if you're going to go through the trouble of deep faking the Turkish president, why wouldn't you just take down the video of Aliyah? Why let this escape into the media?
Is there anything illegal about this?
I don't know.
I say throw the book at them. but it still is still kind of confusing to untangle. And yeah, I guess there's nothing illegal about this, but as we sort of noted at the top, luckily this is not a more serious topic like what we normally discuss on these airwaves, crime, murder, or something like that. I mean, could you imagine like surveillance video being deepfaked or something like that? And God knows I'm not trying to give anyone ideas.
Oh, you're certainly not giving anyone ideas. There's groups of people out there who are convinced that our current state is a deep fake, that our current political state is all deep faked, and there's a shadow government hiding behind the deep fakes.
Are you talking about the QAnon movement, Lance?
I'm not talking about anything specific. I'm not assigning any letter to a particular group, but they're out there. And there could be a moment where former leaders are deep faked into current leadership positions and absolutely convince those who want to be convinced that this is now the reality.
Yeah, totally. So like we have to ask the question, like if Aliyah and the alien conspiracy stuff is the deep fake and that's all not true, why they do this? Like to what end? And who did it? Was it somebody within the Galactica company who decided to do a publicity stunt for the company itself? Or is it a third party of some sort?
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
And a thank you to our sponsors. Back to the program.
Yeah, it's very confusing because pretty much every aspect of it leaves me uncertain, right? So you get the real video, which is, you know, boring politics, and then you get the deepfake video about the UFO over the Pentagon, which is interesting. But you also have the aspect of the video. How did that get done? How did that get deepfaked? Again, the person in the supposed deepfake, whichever one it is wearing something different. Some of the mannerisms are even different, but it seems like the video is almost identical, or at least like it had been provided some shake to it to make it look like it was like a hidden camera video.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of effects applied into the alien deepfake video. Like I said before, the Erdogan video is like a pretty static camera, although it is the same angle on the speaker addressing the UN. But yeah, some like it was kind of a feat of video editing there.
Yeah, and then again about actual UFOs, triangle or pyramid shaped UFOs that have been confirmed as real UAPs by the Pentagon only recently. So that sort of, again, complicates this whole thing for me, because if this is just a troll video, they sort of trolled on something that could even be true as far as we know.
Yeah, as far as we know. I'd like to dig in a little bit to Aliyah's company, Galactica. So they have a couple goals or aims listed on their website. One is to create this like space city. It's called the Cosmos City, I believe. And right now it's just kind of like a virtual platform, but they have designs to actually make this in the future. But so I clicked on the link that goes to the Cosmos City experiment, and I'll just read what they wrote here. It's kind of fascinating. It might lend some reasons why they might be behind this deepfake video. So the website reads, "Humankind has always been fascinated by space and the future. Artists and scientists, filmmakers and innovators all try to imagine the secrets of the universe centuries ahead. Space and the future are the two things nearly everyone can imagine, but most will never get to see. Cosmos City is our attempt to envision both. It is a physical and virtual platform, a space city here on Earth, educating, enlightening, and entertaining our visitors and subscribers through its focus on space exploration, sustainability, and our future. I think the operative word here is entertaining our visitors. So maybe this deep fake video is like, it both serves as a way to lead people back to Galactica and their mission, and also as just like pure entertainment. Like, it's fun to imagine what would happen on Earth if there was like a proven extraterrestrial visit. Like, what would an address look like? How would our leaders, our world leaders, you know, spread this message, and what would happen after that?
We saw it in Independence Day.
Right.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yeah, I mean, there's another initiative with Galactica. It's an app for iOS called the Human Cosmos. And I downloaded it. It's a little strange. It doesn't make so much sense to me. It's like kind of a series of astrological predictions, personality quizzes, and like exercises and meditation. It's very like new agey. But I was wondering like what the purpose of this was. It wasn't really educational. It just seemed like a bunch of new agey gobbledygook. But I was asking my friend who is a data analyst, and he works in machine learning too. And he said that this app is probably purely a data mining tool. So I promptly deleted it from my phone.
Okay. So what does that mean? They're mining your information, trying to find out where you're visiting and things like that?
Yep. Pretty much gathering data that accumulates through the app that's downloaded onto your phone and then selling that information. I mean, that's not confirmed or anything, but it seems the most likely reason for the existence of this app.
Well, one thing I'm trying to figure out is, you know, if this was just some random sort of internet troll, why did they choose her? I mean, is she that kind of obvious of a choice? But as we just talked about, maybe you would choose Bill Clinton or someone who was in politics. You know what I mean? Why take it out of that political sector?
Right, exactly. And why would it be her who gives this address to the UN? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, she mentioned that she was born into this astronomical environment with her mother being the manager of that observatory, the Polkovo Observatory in Russia. So maybe that is something. If you were to look into her, you'd see that she's been doing this pretty much her whole life. She's been around this.
I think more than anything, that points to like a publicity stunt for her company and like to raise her profile, especially in the US, because before this, I think she was kind of an eccentric unknown in Russia that had this like new age spacey company.
Jen, if you're saying that the Russians are messing with the internet and they're trolling governments, I don't know what to tell you.
Call me crazy.
I think one of the more frightening parts of this is how easy it is for anybody to do something like this. We're talking about someone here where we're not even sure if this woman, Aaliyah, exists. So there's that category. But we also have the category of the average person now figuring out how to do things like this. There was the cheerleader story. There was that Tom Cruise deep fake. I don't know if you guys had followed either one of those, but we're not talking about people who are entrenched in the tech industry. They're not programmers, they're regular people, as far as I've read, that they didn't have any extensive background in this particular technology sector. I mean, 5 years ago, this would have been something that Hollywood would create after, you know, millions of dollars and years of training. And now you can do it on your cell phone for very little or nothing. And you have the cheerleading story where the mother of this cheerleader had deepfaked the face of, I guess, an opposing cheerleader onto something else where it looked like she was vaping, which was a violation of that particular cheerleading squad's, obviously, violation of their rules. And the whole thing just unraveled. And what happened after that is insane. And if you guys want to talk about that later on, we can. In addition, that Tom Cruise deepfake, that one blows my mind, too. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so like, I think we're as I mentioned before, we're in an era where we're not trusting what we read. We're kind of being trained not to trust, you know, news headlines anymore, what comes across our feed on social media. But we're not yet at the point where we can look at a video and say like, oh, that's real or that's fake. And this is, I believe, just the beginning of doctored video like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of jokey things you can do with it. We use the Reface app in our personal circles. If you haven't checked that out, it's a lot of fun. You can put Lance's face on any GIF that that you can find. I mean, it's amazing, and it does it instantly.
And it matches it perfectly.
That's just a plugin, right? Like, you're not doing any kind of complicated editing on that.
Right. You could. I mean, Martin Scorsese sort of did a version of that in The Irishman, where he made certain actors look younger, you know, and that's a technology that is sort of starting in Hollywood now, where they could even bring back people from the dead if they wanted to.
Well, they did that in Star Wars, right? I forget. I think it was.
I don't watch those movies.
It was the latest one where they had a young Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker, and you could kind of tell that it was like CGI, computer generated.
But just a few years ago, they got Paul Walker's brother to finish Fast and Furious 7, and now you're right. Like, they, you know, would just deepfake his face over that. They didn't do it because they had his brother, I guess, back then.
That just reminded me what they did with Brandon Lee in The Crow.
Oh yeah.
And when was that? Like 97, 96, 97?
94, I believe.
94? Talking yeah. mid-90s, and they were able to CGI, and you could kind of tell the scenes, but with the right lighting and the right movements, you get another person in there with the right features, and you can CGI something over. So this has been something that's been going on for a few decades now.
You could kind of tell that, and so Brandon Lee was killed like halfway during the shooting or something, and you're saying you could kind of tell the difference in between actors?
Yeah, he was right. He was shot during the scene where they're all shooting at him on the table. I don't know where that occurred during production, but I think they had probably 30 or 40% left to shoot. It was a small amount, and it was, you know, the graveyard scenes or like these farewell scenes, and most of them were like really still. And the mouth was kind of moving.
Yeah, and that's a character with long hair and like face paint. So if you could tell
yeah.
in that, like, we've come a long, long way because you can do it now in 5 seconds on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. And seriously, the creepiest one is the Tom Cruise one. I can't tell. I couldn't tell on any one of those Tom Cruise videos.
Yeah, it's true. It's scary. And you can sort of see how this could go like so wrong in the future. Too. It could start wars.
For all we know, it already has. In fact, we're not even real right now.
And I'm Ashley Flowers.
I'm John Lorden.
And I'm Patrick Hines. Thanks for listening to Crawl Space.